This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Well, I don't know. I think I like the guy singing overrated, underrated, properly rated better. It is 208. John Hines in for Chad Hartman. Chip Scoggins joins me this afternoon. He's on Mondays with Chad on a regular basis. Hey, Chip, good afternoon. Thanks for making yourself available. A busy sports day, or it's going to be, isn't it?
Yeah. Big news for the Gophers sports athletic department with the hiring of Nico Medved. That became official about an hour ago, I guess. And they're going to introduce him at a press conference tomorrow at noon. But really, I think, good hire by Mark Cole, the athletic director. I think Nico was the number one guy on his list. And much like when he needed a football coach and went and hired PJ Fleck, he got the guy he wanted.
Well, so was I the only one who was disappointed to see Ben Johnson go?
Yeah, I mean, there are people that feel like Ben, because of the lack of name, image, and likeness, NIL revenue, that that Ben essentially had was operating at a deficit because they lost players, that other schools basically just came in and offered 3-4 times the amount of money that those players were going to get here. But that's not a blanket excuse. And when you look at his Big Ten record and how much fan apathy had set in, I think they had to make a move. This obviously is a an investment because you had to pay Ben's buyout, you had to pay Nico Medved's buyout, you got to pay him a big salary, they gave him a 6-year contract. But in the new world of college athletics, with revenue sharing coming on board once a judge okays it next month, which is the expectation, and you're going to be able to basically spend $20.5 million on payroll for your athletes, they have to have a successful football and men's basketball program. There's two primary drivers of revenue for an athletic department, and they need to be able to squeeze as much money as they can out of those two programs. And they just, quite frankly, weren't doing it in men's basketball. And so I think they need to make a change, and going out and getting a head coach, a guy who's been a head coach at multiple spots. He's done the job. He's sat in a seat. He's been in the NCAA tournament. He knows the landscape of how college athletics are changing. I think it was vital that they got somebody that has that experience. Now, it's kind of the icing on the cake that you get a guy who's from here, went to school here, has the ties that Nico has to Gophers basketball program. But the most important thing to me was you had to get a guy who was a sitting head coach who knows the job.
Well, is Nico going to be, is the transfer portal going to automatically light up now again for Nico Medved? Are things going to be coming back the Gophers way for a change?
Well, the portal opened today, so players that can start putting their name in there and coaches can start signing the kids in the portal. Well, two things. I think this his hire will give a shot of energy to the program, but that only takes you so far. You need the money. And today's college basketball is more transactional than any other sport. It's about the money. I think we saw some programs last year had a payroll of $7 million. I don't think the Gophers are going to get there. But I think at a minimum, between the collective NIL and the revenue sharing, they're going to have to be at $4 million, and I think probably even $5 million to be competitive with peers. So he's going to have that money available to him to go into the portal and try to get as many high-level players as he can, because I don't think I've ever seen a situation where a coach – he's essentially going to have to get 10 or 11 players out of the portal. I mean, this – team was decimated with losses because I think they had 10 seniors. They graduated. Two players have already entered their name in the portal. That's not to say they can't come back, but I think they believe they only have two holdover scholarship players. So he has a lot of work to do to fill that roster out, and having the revenue sharing money to help him attract players is going to be a big, big thing.
Chatting with Chip Scoggins from Star Tribune, we are talking about a number of different sports stories, but the big one today is definitely Nico Medved taking over Gopher men's basketball to run that program. So you talk about a six-year contract. Do we look for results in year one in a situation, or is that a fantasy, Chip?
Well, it's hard to know until you see what his roster is that he puts together. I mean, like I said, they have two players. He's going to have to assemble a roster here pretty quickly. It's not like he has holdovers. He's going to have to get most of the guys. Now, he may bring some with him from Colorado State. I assume that will be part of the discussion. But the vast majority are going to have to go through the portal. So we'll see what the roster looks like when he gets to the end of it. But the fact that he has done this before – he's been a head coach with the portal, with NIL. He's put a stamp on a program. We know what kind of offenses he's going to run. There's just fewer unknowns, and this is a hire that is kind of atypical of what we've seen for this program, where the previous couple coaches, there's been kind of a leap of faith because they either haven't been a head coach or were really young and didn't know a lot about them. Nico is 51 years old. He's been a head coach at three different universities. He's been in an NCAA tournament three times. They were, you know, within a last second shot of being in the Sweet 16 last night. And so he has a track record. He has a plan. He knows how to build and sustain a program. And so it'll just take time to get this first couple rosters assembled. But I think once they do that, if they have the institutional support financially with NIL, being able to retain players, that's the key in this new world, is where you're not constantly having other programs come in and outspend you for your own players. That has to stop.
Let me ask you this question, because there's been some talk, you know, more recently here about Williams Arena, and it's time to move away from the barn, the storied Williams Arena. Is this likely to recharge that kind of a discussion, or where do you stand on the building?
Well, I think it's a dump, personally. Now, there are people that vehemently disagree with me that you'll have to, you know, pry their fingers off it if you ever try to get rid of it. But, you know, I've been here 25 years, and all I've heard is, man, when that place rocks, there's nothing like it. Well, when's it rocked in the last 25 years? Occasionally, you know, here and there. But furthermore, John, the other thing is that building turns 100 years old in 3 years. Like, they're not going to address it in any ways. I mean, you have to do something. It's going to be 100 years old. And so I think it's easy for me to spend someone else's money, but I think that has to be part of the puzzle, that there needs to be some kind of acknowledgement or plan going forward that you're either going to have to really modernize this thing or just start over with a new building.
All right, let's be practical in that regard. Let me switch gears on you if I can here. Baseball is going to head home to the regular season, wherever that may take you. For the Twins, it will take them to St. Louis, I believe, for the start of the season after one quick game, I think, with Colorado Rockies. But to get into the regular season with St. Louis, how critical is it, and what is the likelihood of getting some of their top players on the field at the same time, which we didn't see too much of last season. I think somebody told me that the likes of Buxton, Correa, and Royce Lewis playing together was like 20 times during the regular season. I'm probably understating that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
No, that's probably pretty accurate. And anytime anybody asks me for my prediction on the Twins, standard response is, well, tell me how many games Correa, Buxton, and Lewis are going to play. I mean, that is the problem when you build your team around three guys who are injury-plagued. You can't predict how many games these guys are going to play, and, like, they're the focal point of the team. And so, Brooks Lee is going to start the year on the IL. He's injured, and same thing with Royce Lewis. He's starting the year on the injury list. So it's not off to a good start, not off to a promising start. And so I don't know. I mean, I like their bullpen. I think there's a lot of chatter about how good they can be. But it's just really, for me, impossible to think that this team, to really give any kind of confident response about what projections should be, because every year it's a broken record. We talk about injuries nonstop with this team, and here we are starting the season talking about it again.
Yeah. You mentioned the bullpen. I got to say, having had a chance to see a couple of times, Griffin Jacks, he has just been hot, lights out hot, for his role here in middle relief or late inning relief. That's been one bright spot. I'm a little shaky about Pablo Lopez. Somebody said, well, he's trying different things during the spring training season here, but I'd like to see him try getting players out, perhaps. That might be it. I don't mean to be so callous, and I don't play the game, especially never dreamed of playing the game anywhere close to that level, but it's so much easier for me then to be able to sit back and complain about it. Bailey Ober seems to be having, like he's got his ducks in a row, but yeah. Pablo Lopez getting the start for opening day.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I've fallen into that trap too before, where whether it's spring training or NFL preseason or what have you, where you become consumed by the results there, and it's hard to know, like, legitimate, is he trying different things, is he having a different approach, or is this just a sign of what's going to happen when the season starts? We've seen it all different ways, where it means nothing, it means something. It's so I try not to read too much into it. I think Lopez is your natural. I like the top of it, Lopez, Ryan, and Ober. I mean, 1-2-3, that's pretty good.
Yes.
And so I'm not overly concerned with the spring training results with Pablo. Go back to your initial point about Griffin Jacks. I thought he was one of their most valuable guys last year. I mean, his emergence in the late innings as a shutdown guy really was a boost for them and for his career, and he's really made that transition from starter to back in reliever. And if you get Duran back to where he was and Jacks and supplement with some of those other guys, Varlin and Kayla and Sands, I mean, I think that bullpen has a chance to be pretty good, but you got to get to them, right? You got to get to them with the lead, and so
yes.
that means the lineup has to produce, the lineup has to be better.
So can I ask you on this Monday before the regular season begins, where do you see them finishing in the American League Central?
Oh, goodness. How many games is Bucks and Correa and Lewis going to play?
Oh, yeah, we're back to that again. Whoopsie.
I don't know. I'd need to study the other teams and what they've done. I mean, so much of their inactivity, the Twins early on in free agency, I think they're really banking on development of young guys and improvement of guys that were here and health. They didn't go out and really supplement in a way that, this was a blockbuster deal. They improved their lineup here. They improved their rotation there. I think if they're just trying to get better internally and have more health, better health. And so we'll see if that's the recipe for a better season. But it's hard to get what happened at the end of last season, the absolute collapse out of your mind. And so, I don't know.
That was
it goes back to health.
That was a collapse of monumental proportion, I would say. Hey, because you said the letters NFL, give me a quick take here on the Vikings passing on the likes of Aaron Rodgers. Were you in the camp like, oh, good?
Thank goodness.
Yeah, okay.
John, it made no sense to me at all. When you look at the plan and everything they've done and the culture and everything that they've built there, the idea that they're at Aaron Rodgers made zero sense to me, and I'm glad they passed on.
I don't exactly see him being any kind of glue that holds anything together. Gophers getting ready for NCAA hockey here, or that rundown. Timberwolves, before I let you go, give me your take on Timberwolves and where we are with, what is it, like 10 games left? Are we down to 10 games remaining in the regular season?
Yeah, it's coming here quick, and it's every game is just monumental importance. Trying to get stay out of the play-in games, get one of those top six, and losing two last week to depleted teams really was a blow. I think if they can just when they won the eight games, we saw them starting to put together and feel better about the way they're playing and the rotations and everything. They got to get back to that and find that spark again, and obviously. Having a big win on Friday night against a bad team that maybe got them feeling better about themselves. But every game is critical because the West is just so difficult. I mean, there's so many good teams, and so they need to have a really strong closing stretch here to try to stay out of that play-in.
Well, hey, I appreciate you joining me on this day. I'll look forward to reading what you have to say going forward here at Star Tribune about Nico Medved and what this might mean. And I'm sure you will follow closely as he starts to build a squad for the coming season. We'll look forward to following you on at StarTribune.com or Star Tribune in the news box.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Johnny.
Take care. Chip Scoggins joining us this afternoon here on Chad Hartman Show. News Talk 830 WCCO. Take a time out. We'll be back with some more and more of your thoughts and participation. And then we're going to go to the dogs in the next half hour, but more on that yet to come.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra.
Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
227, couple minutes more here to talk some sports. John Hines in for Chad Hartman. Chad will be back tomorrow, so I'm happy to have had this opportunity. And Dave, always a pleasure to be on when you are putting together a show. Again, people will be able to hear part of this with the rewind, with the podcasting. I'm guessing we'll have a chance to hear the words, the wisdom of former Governor Arne Carlson a little later on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can hear any part of the show. We usually put interviews or half hours, whole hours. In some way, every minute of the show is up on the podcast. Much of it already up there. So you can find it, WCCORadio.com, the Odyssey app, Spotify, where you get podcasts, John. You're going to find the Chad Hartman show.
That's where you look. So your take on Nico Medved. Are you a – I'm a Gopher basketball fan. I've spent a lot of time at Williams Arena and have enjoyed it, and I have loved seeing the Gopher. Maybe they'll get some more television time now going forward. But and I agree with what Chip was saying. I didn't know the building was that old, but it makes sense. Coming up 3 years shy of 100 years, might be time to make a change.
Yeah, you can just take the word might right out of that. It is time to make a change. And in my opinion, it's just, you know, and is a new building going to solve the problems of the program? Of course it's not. No. But it will, you know, it'll liven things up a little bit. It might make a kid who, you know, sees that building as a relic, as sees it just as a, you know, an old building for an old has-been program. Hey, if you get a fancy new building, you get a, you know, brand new locker room, and you get concourses that are easy to walk, perhaps you get some fans that are interested in going to the game again. So, yeah, it can be it can help be a moneymaker for the program, and perhaps at least be a piece of the recipe towards turning the program around. You know, I went to the U. I was there during the Dan Munson era. Not exactly a great era for Minnesota basketball, but that was also the Lindsey Whalen, Janelle McCarville era with the women. And you know what? Women's games were a blast to go there because the team was good, the building was rocking, and it was kind of fun. Men's games were an absolute dread. You know, it was just a dead building, and it, you know, any building's going to be dead if you have a bad program, but you know, it can't hurt to liven it up just a little bit. We've redone things. We've put in the barn loft suites. And, you know, I think they've done just about everything they can do. But, you know,
there's a limit.
Exactly. And I also think, you know, we were talking about Williams Arena a couple weeks ago and the famous raised floor. The famous raised floor, you know, unique to the barn. It's a, you know, wonderful thing. Well, that also keeps the fans away from the floor. You look at the best programs in the country, and the floor is on the floor, and the student sections in particular, and all the fans are right on top of it. They are right up on the edge where, you know, I think that just that level of separation, you get that 6-8 feet between the raised floor and where the seats are then, I think that really creates a disconnect between what could be your most loyal and, you know, loud fans.
I'll have to pay closer attention the next time I get a chance to see a game from Williams Arena. I mean, I've always wondered about the floor. I've always thought, you know, when you are charging hard towards the backboard, and I'm afraid you're going to run off the edge of the floor. I just thought of it as a danger pit all the way around. But that's just me. So, hey, how about this? During spring training, and you were down in Florida for part of that time. I know you didn't take any games because you were busy sunning by the pool and sipping drinks with little paper umbrellas in them.
Not true, Johnny. We did go to a ball game. We went to Thursday's game where they beat the Red Sox 2-1.
Oh, now where was that? Was that down at Fort Myers?
Yep, that was in Fort Myers. That was at Hammond.
I went to four games in the course of 6 days. Because of makeup from earlier, I was interested very much so in the spring training trial of pitcher, catcher, batter being able to challenge a pitch. Your thoughts?
Well, that's a good thing. I was There was a couple challenges, and yeah, it didn't seem to disrupt things too much. It's fine.
No, only seconds. It takes only seconds, and they put it up on the board so everybody can see it.
Yeah,
and I'm impressed when a pitcher gets a batter, let's say, gets it right, and that pitch was just a half inch below the strike zone.
Yeah,
if it's a matter of him continuing his at bat or going to the dugout, I think, you know, go ahead, challenge it, as long as it doesn't get abused.
Yeah, exactly. And if it's a very quick process like it seems to be, that's fine. Because, you know, that's the way we're headed. We've fought it for so long, you know, the baseball purists kind of like myself of, you know, we love the human element. We want umpires to be wrong once in a while or, you know, get mad at a pitcher or a hitter and, you know, stick it to him on a close call. Well, that's kind of dumb, too. That's kind of a dumb way to look at it. So, yeah, it's coming. The whole electronic strike zone is coming. So let's just all get used to it. And, you know, if it's challenges or just, you know, a little beep in the umpire's ear that says strike or ball, then he makes the call, I guess we'll just have to be fine with it because it's not stopping.
All right, last thing before the break, as long as we're talking about progress in terms of electronics and such, how about a chip in the football to decide where it should be spotted for the next down?
I still don't know how that would work. You'd need a lot of chips. I mean, the football can be turned any which way as it's approaching the first down marker. And then you got to deal with, you know, when was the whistle blown? And then, I guess you could sync it all up, but I'm, and you know what? Human element for the chain gang. Bring back the chain gang, John. Let's get a bunch of 70-year-olds who are making their best guess. Let's go.
All right. That would be me while I'm watching on TV.
Exactly.
It is 2:34. This is a timeout now. We'll get the latest go-around on traffic and weather and everything else. Coming up here, News Talk 830 WCCO. 2:40, John Hines in for Chad Hartman. Hey, Dave, tell me here, do I have it wrong? Is Chad not out under the weather? Somebody told me that he just is flying back from somewhere. Not that it matters, but I like to be as accurate as possible.
Well, Chad is flying back. I assume he's healthy. But the trick was with today was Chad was scheduled to be out due to his flight. Adam Carter was going to be filling in. He is the one under the weather. So, you know, you got the details a little bit screwed up. But the important point is hopefully Adam will be back with Jordana tomorrow, 9 to noon. He's been feeling kind of crummy the last few days. And Chad will be back, assuming everything goes well with the flight and he doesn't get sick. He'll be back in tomorrow.
And I hope you make it back tomorrow. You sound like you a little bit congested or a little bit under the weather.
I am. It kind of went through us on the trip. The kids got the crud earlier in the week. My wife got it about Wednesday or Thursday. I thought I was in the clear until overnight Friday into Saturday when I said, oh, I feel what's coming now. Darn it.
Well, way to tough it out and to get in here today. I really appreciate you're making the effort.
Yeah, I'm doing what I can. No, I actually feel much. Yesterday, I had to kind of, you know, you kind of get that day where you just feel like everything's harder. Your muscles don't feel like they want to work. You're just tired. That was yesterday for me. Today, I feel like I'm already on the mend, bouncing back.
Well, good. Way to go. Chin up, a little buckaroo. So, hey, when we were doing overrated, underrated, properly rated, I should have included this because underrated is any amount of punishment or repercussions for Allison Lawrence from Kenner, Louisiana. I don't know if the name is familiar to you, but is one who was flying. She was at Orlando's International Airport trying to fly to Colombia. This was back in December. Paperwork prevented her from taking her pet along with her on the international flight. So in plain view of surveillance cameras, after speaking to an airline agent for several minutes, she re-entered she went into a bathroom near the ticketing area with her dog, and she exited the bathroom without the dog. Less than 20 minutes later.
No.
And as it turns out, I know, you can see where this is going. The dog had a companion vest, collar, rabies tag, dog travel bag, bone-shaped dog tag with her name on it. She did away with the dog in the ladies' restroom. She was arrested eventually, ultimately concluded that she had taken extreme and tragic action by killing the dog the airport. She was arrested this past Wednesday on account of aggravated animal abuse and third-degree felony.
Yeah, you can lock her up forever. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't care how you feel about a pet, your own or somebody else's. There's got to be some other plan. You know, call somebody, have them come to the airport, get the dog.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
Gee whiz.
Oh, that's absolutely horrific. How is, I mean, you said it right. How is that your plan? Of all the things you could do, from just leave the dog behind.
Yes.
I mean, you know, the best choice here, the best choice to take and kill. Oh, my God.
I'm a dog lover, so but even if you're not, this reminds me, have you seen those off the track here, but have you seen those commercials for Mattress Firm where people behave badly and somebody says, how do you sleep at night?
Okay.
And they say, on a mattress from Mattress Firm, like the lady who's in the HOV lane by herself, or the guy who's got his fingers deep in the guacamole dip, or the barefoot guy. I don't know how that works for a Mattress Firm, but it's not a great way to sell mattresses, in my opinion.
That's interesting.
to have these lowlifes saying, I sleep on a mattress from Mattress Firm.
You know where I shop? Mattress Firm. Well, you find lowlifes like me. And
yeah, and this lady, this might be the latest iteration of that, if they wanted to go down that route. But here's why I wanted to talk about pets, period, besides bringing that story to light, which you probably could have gone the entire day without hearing. But there was a recent study on the true cost of pet parenthood. And this is from, I'm trying to think of the name of the company. I want to say the name of the company is Rover, who did the search on this. They said the average annual cost of a kitten is from $830 to $3,095. That's up 10% from last year. So an adult cat could cost you from $760 to $3,495. And if you take that over the life of the cat, they're talking about $32,170 for a 16-year-old cat. Oof. Now, the same thing can be applied to a dog. $34,550 for your dog. That's for a 10 to 13 year lifespan. That's a lot. And again, you make that decision, you make that commitment, but it's just, the dog brings you joy and you take care of it. That's the responsibility that goes with it.
Boy, when you look at it like that, it's a big number. I'm trying to do the math. We've had our dog now for, it'll be 12 years in May. He's right around 14 or so. We're never really exactly sure. Then he was a rescue dog. But we think we got him when he was about two and a half. And I mean, $34,000, I don't think it's been that steep for us, but it certainly has not been cheap, specifically the last couple of years, as he's certainly gotten older, age, and with age, with slowing down, with other issues comes, more cost after more cost. Then you start getting on the meds, then you start getting more, more vet bills, and it certainly has added up over the last couple of years. And I'd be lying if I didn't think, when that time finally comes, and I certainly hope it doesn't come anytime soon, I'm not saying financially responsible isn't the right term, but is it worth it to get another dog right away? Is it worth it to take a break, to just have a few years of let's build up a little bit more money, because clearly we're spending probably a lot more than we realize on that dog. I think it's just about his food, the bag that we you know, we get them that used to cost about $45 when we first got them 12 years ago is well over $80 now, just the same bag of food.
Yeah, and it lasts for the same duration, right?
That's right, exactly.
That's
right.
Right. So, but the thing about it is, a relationship with a pet is, you know, back and forth. You get from the pet as well. So,
yeah.
You give willingly. I think that's a fair assessment, right?
Yeah, I think it is for most people. And, you know, I love my dog. He's absolutely a member of the family. And, you know, I'd say do anything for him, but then, you know, when costs come into it, you know, how willing are you if, you know, there's a major procedure, major surgery that needs to be done for your pet? You know, it's everybody's number is different, right? Everybody's amount of love is the same, but how able are you to finance something like that?
Yes. And you have to have that in mind. And it also comes, it's all a part of responsible pet ownership.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to as we go forward. So it's 2:49. That's your Lindus Construction time check. Time for the Lindus Construction. Time to get energy efficient Infinity from Marvin Windows and get free installation and labor. Oh, I got this show note too. I want to make sure I mention this. Henry Lake in for Jason DeRussia coming up just after 3 here. We'll be back with one more segment after traffic or at the latest traffic go around on News Talk 830 WCCO. 2:53, just about time to put our toys away. Turn this over to Henry Lake, who's coming up just after 3, filling in for Jason DeRussia. And thanks for whoever straightened me out. The Chad is on his way back. And Adam Carter, who was going to be filling in, is a little bit under the weather. So I hope Adam makes it back. And Dave, I hope that you are going to say that you're going to be the fit as a fiddle tomorrow, only I doubt it. So
we're all going to get through it, John. That's what we're going to do here.
That's right?
CCO,
what we're do.
We don't stop. We just keep on ticking.
Here's a text, sincere and heartfelt, but a text that came in at 651-461-9226. We were gifted a dog years ago, which I don't think anyone should ever do. I did not want another one since we had several. I did not want to be tied down with another. The kids wanted us to keep it, so we did. The dog lived 15 years. Never again. Going on to say, they tie you down. They are expensive to board. Yes, if you need time to get away from it. I am surprised at the number of people that I see, especially when the weather turns nice, who end up going to a restaurant with their dog on a leash, really for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, you couldn't leave the dog at home. I guess it's if the restaurant is a pet friendly restaurant, then go ahead. And I do like that more and more airlines are sort of tightening their rules as to what constitutes a animal that can travel with you. When somebody says it's a service dog, I'm curious to know, what service does it provide beyond just keeping you company?
Yeah, and I mean, how many stores now do you see? Or like, you know, Starbucks, you'll see a dog walk in with its owner. It's, you know, if you're at Target or Walmart, are we now, you know, I don't even know what their policy is, but every once in a while you'll look and there's a dog walking in, and they're certainly not wearing the, you know, service dog emblem, the little shirt they get to wear, the, you know, the little badge.
Yeah, and just having a vest that says emotional support, I don't know. I suppose you can have a prescription for it. Your physician says you need to have this animal with you, but I don't know. I think it minimizes the importance of some of the service dogs that are there. The dog that can tell when you're about to have a seizure, or if you are suffering from PTSD, the dog that knows when you need that comfort, that situation. So, again, it's wrong of me to judge, but I'm doing it anyway.
Yes, go right ahead. Judge all you want. That's what you're here to do, John.
Yeah. The one I saw over the weekend just... I'm one of those guys. This would have been, as the late Louis Anderson used to say about his father, where he would just slow down and say, "Would you look at that?" So, wow, that just made me miss Louis all over again.
Oh, how could you not?
Yeah, absolutely right. I was so lucky to have known him for as long as I did. Hey, Dave Harrigan, thank you so much for making the show good. And for all of the listeners with the kind and thoughtful texts at 651-461-9226. And for those of you who weighed in on any number of topics, I do appreciate it. You make everything run better on the Chad Hartman Show. So he'll be back tomorrow. Adam Carter back where he belongs. You make the most out of this day, and good luck, Nico Medved. We'll be watching. Take the rest of the day off. It's 2:57, News Talk 830, WCCO.